Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, the first letter of the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Our subject this evening is in everything give thanks. The first part of verse 18, and a glorious theme it is. This is the third of the Apostle's final exhortations to the Thessalonians at the end of this first letter. First we had in verse 16, rejoice evermore, and verse 17, pray without ceasing, and now in verse 18, in everything give thanks. And well, this exhortation in verse 18 is very closely related to the ones in verse 16 and 17. When we give thanks, well, it's a form of rejoicing. When we rejoice, we give thanks. They're almost the same thing. Rejoice evermore, and in everything give thanks. So closely related. And of course, verse 17, pray without ceasing. When we give thanks to God, well, it is mostly done through prayer. Most of the time when we come to the Lord to give thanks, we come and we humble ourselves, even on our knees, and we pray to God, giving thanks for all that we have received from Him. So these three things, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, they are very closely related. And in fact, when we get to the end of verse 18, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, many of the commentators believe that that is referring to all three of these things, from verses 16 to 18. Not just in everything give thanks, but for rejoicing evermore and pray without ceasing. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And well, we've mentioned before, these are such tremendous exhortations, such kind and loving commandments to us to be happy, to rejoice, to know true joy, to pray, to know the Lord in a most intimate way, and to give thanks. These are the commandments that we receive from God's word. And well, it is a joy to come and to seek how to obey them in the best way. This is why the Lord has saved us, to enjoy such things. But well, verse 18, we have to think about ways we can apply this and even what this means. Well, in everything, give thanks. Give thanks. This is, of course, thanks to God. And of course, before we were saved, we never really gave thanks to God. Not in any meaningful way. I know that almost every place we go, we hear people saying, thank God, thank God. But that's in a very irreverent way. They're saying it just because something good has happened to them. They're not actually making their thanks to God on high. It's just a sort of phrase, thank God. They don't really have the true and living God in their mind. And well, one reason we don't give true, sincere thanks to God when we are unsaved is because we don't see our great need of God. We don't see our great need. Thankfulness goes hand in hand with need. We are only really thankful for those things that we feel we have a need of. And you can, well, boil it down right down to most basic things. If you were, for example, to sneeze, go on a sneezing fit or something, and everything goes everywhere. Well, if someone gives you a tissue, well, then you'll say, thank you. Oh, I really needed that. I need that. Thank you to the person who's given it to you. Any other time, if someone just gave you a tissue on the road, well, you might take it, but you wouldn't really feel the need to give thanks to that person. I don't have to say thank you. I don't really need this at this present time. So thankfulness always is attached very directly to need, that which we need. And of course, when we're unsaved, we don't think we have any need of Christ. It's only when we come and we hear the word of God and we're convicted of our sin, we're sinners in the eyes of God, we're heading for judgment, we have to give an account of our lives, suddenly we realize, I need a Savior. I need a Savior. I need one desperately. And then, only then, do you really start giving thanks to God. That's when you start giving thanks to God on high, because He has sent the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when you really start giving thanks to God. And that is what is meant here. In everything give thanks. Well, it's speaking primarily of thanks to God. But when we as Christians, we give thanks to God, well, yes, we express our thankfulness for the Lord Jesus Christ, and many other aspects of our salvation are expressed in thankfulness. In thankfulness, we express our indebtedness to God. Our indebtedness to God. It's an acknowledgement that God has done something for you, and so now you are indebted to Him. That is what true thankfulness is. It's not just, oh, I say thank you to Him, and that's it. It's an acknowledgement, He has done something wonderful, now I'm indebted to Him. I am in His debt. Well, of course, we cannot pay back that debt, that sin debt. Christ paid the sin debt in full. We know and understand that, but we still acknowledge it was our debt. It wasn't Christ's debt. He took upon Himself our debt. It was our sin debt. And so we have that sense of indebtedness to God, and we express that through our thanksgiving. Indebtedness. Christ has done something for me. How much I owe to God. And of course, we're thankful because it was only through the will of God that we were ever saved at all. Only because of God's sovereign, gracious will toward us. It was not because of us that we were saved. And I say this repeatedly. If it was up to us, we would never have come to God. We loved our sins too much. We loved our lives too much. It's only because God began to work in us that we then decided, or through our will, looked to Him and desired Him and desired to know Him. We have been chosen by God. We are one of God's elect. That ought to be a reason to give thanks to God. Some people have a problem with election, and I'm not going to speak about this. But some people, well, they think the doctrine of election is so unfair. It's not a reason to give thanks. It's unfair. Why am I chosen to be saved and not somebody else? Why me and not my mother or my sister or my brother or my children? Why me to be saved? And it actually makes them, upset, discontented. But that's not the reaction we're supposed to have to being saved, to being chosen. When we realize that we are chosen, elect of God, that ought to make you give thanks to God. That ought to make you think, oh, I'm no different to that person or that person. I've got the same sins. I've got the same faults. But God has saved me out of His mercy and grace. I ought to give thanks, not to say it's unfair. You are, well, saved, not because of anything you have done, not because you're anything special, But God has saved you out of his gracious will. That ought to be a reason for tremendous thanksgiving. You are the elect and you are chosen of God. And these things, well, they're so very important. We must avoid at all costs ingratitude. Ingratitude to God. We must avoid it. Where does ingratitude come from? Ingratitude, unthankfulness, comes from pride. That's where ingratitude comes from. Pride, feeling that we're entitled to things. I deserve this. I deserve that. God should be giving me this. I shouldn't be living a difficult life. I shouldn't have to suffer this or that. God should be giving me what I deserve, a nice quiet life. That is ingratitude, unthankfulness, and pride. Well, if we look at the scriptures, we find out exactly what we deserve. What do we actually deserve as people here on earth, as sinners here on earth? Do we ever think about that? What do I deserve from God? The answer is we don't deserve anything. And I hate to put it that way, but that's the truth. We don't deserve anything. We have sinned against God. If there's anything we do deserve, we deserve to be eternally lost. That's what we actually deserve because of our sin. That's what we deserve, to be eternally lost. Hell-deserving sinners, as the Puritans used to say. But I'm not saying this to depress you. I'm saying this so that you will have a spirit of thankfulness, because it's only when you realize I don't deserve anything at all, then you'll be thankful for everything you do receive. I don't deserve anything. I've sinned against God, but God gives me so much. Therefore, I am truly thankful. If we go the opposite way, if we feel we deserve things, well, then that will lead us into nothing but sin. And, well, we can go back even to the Garden of Eden. And Satan, how did he tempt Adam and Eve? He was, he wanted to sow the seeds of ingratitude. Don't be thankful to God for all that he's done for you, for the Garden of Eden, for all his provision. Don't be thankful to him. You deserve something else. You deserve that forbidden fruit. God is holding it back from you. That's what you deserve. You deserve to be like God's, like he is. That's what you deserve. And that's what led them into sin. Ingratitude. Thinking they were entitled to something. We're not entitled to anything. And yet this cultivates that spirit of thankfulness, because God gives us so much, even though we deserve nothing at all. And well, these things are so important to understand. But let me attempt to apply some of this in a more practical way. We need to, as far as possible, produce thankfulness in one another and in ourselves. Produce thankfulness. Instead of saying, "What do I deserve?" we ought to be saying, "What should I be thankful for? What should I be thankful for?" Spend all your time and energy thinking of all the things that you have to be thankful for. Well, of course, there are very obvious things. There's friends. There is family. If we are Christians, there are other believers. Are we thankful for other believers coming into a place such as this, speaking to believers, knowing that believers are praying for you? Are you thankful for the prayers of others? Oh, you can be sure that many people in this church, you may not know it yourself, but when they speak to you, they go and pray for you. Are you thankful for that? To come into this place and to know that there are brothers and sisters in the Lord who care for you. Well, we thank the Lord that we are saved, that we are found in a place such as this. Well, we can even think about us all here now. We often pray in this way, but do you ever imagine where you would be if God had not set you in this place? Where would you be now if God had just abandoned you, left you when you were lost, wandering in the world? God did not intervene in your life. Where would you be now? What would be the situations in your life? What terrible situations might you have found yourself in? Do you ever think to yourself, oh, God has saved me from so much? What sort of person would you be like now if you were still unsaved? How selfish would you be? How proud would you be? What sort of person would you be like? Do you give thanks for all these things that you are not like that? That God has instead brought you into this place. Dear friends, we ought not to let these things go unnoticed. There are many youngsters in here, many children, and their parents are saved. Many youngsters who have saved parents. Do you imagine what your parents would be like if they weren't saved? And do you give thanks for that? If my mum and my dad were not saved, what would they be like? But they are saved. And they're so kind and so gentle and they're so upright. Do you give thanks for that? And parents, well, we have to do it the other way. Parents, some of you have children who are saved. Well, can you imagine what they would be like if they weren't saved? Do we give thanks for that? Possibly there's more reason to give thanks for that. But I only just add that. Well, these things are great things to be thankful for. And so I'm just trying to point out to you, try and think of all the things that you have to be thankful for, and you will find so many things. The Lord truly fills our cup. Well, service as well, I could mention. I just mentioned this. Service. So many of you engaged in Christian service. Do you ever think how Christian service has changed you as a person? The Lord has led you into an avenue of service, and it's changed you. It's given you gifts that otherwise you never would have had. And while we have many ministries to the young in this place, what a great privilege to have so many children come into this place and to have so many of us teaching them. We all know that children never forget their teachers. They never forget them. I remember almost all of my teachers from when I was in infant school and junior school. Do you ever give thanks that all those children who come into this place will always remember you? Who are you to be remembered by all those children as they grow up in this community? Do you give thanks for that great privilege? Well, these things are so important. And well, in everything we read here, in everything give thanks. Now, we've spoken about how we ought to rejoice even in difficult times. And the principle continues in verse 18. Yes, even in difficult times, we give thanks. We spoke last week about how prayer, unanswered prayer, can sanctify us, make us more patient people, more humble people. But, when we have difficult times, when we go through trials, it doesn't only just sanctify us, it qualifies us. Qualifies us for something. What do trials qualify us for? Well, trials qualify us, enable us to help others who are going through those same trials. Do we give thankfulness for that? We have been through such difficult things. So many of us, and many of you far more than anything I've been through. Bereavements, long times of illness. But don't you see that through those times, you can now help others who will go through those things. Other people will suffer these things. You are here given by the Lord to help them, to get them through. And you know that person? That person, if they are helped by you, they will thank God for you. They will give thanks to God for you. And so we ought to give thanks to God that we can help them. So this is another reason to give thanks, even in very difficult times. And this is the opposite of the world. The world can only give thanks in times of plenty, but we give thanks in times of very little. And in fact, there is great evidence in the scripture that when we have so little, even in those times when we have so little, if we give thanks for them, we are so greatly blessed. Now, I just want to very quickly turn you back to that passage we read in John chapter 6, because we get our greatest instruction in how to give thanks from the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 6, and if you remember, this was the great miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. And let us read from verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, unto the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. So this is the scene. 5,000 men, remember, there were women and children also there, and only 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes to feed them. So little, nowhere near enough. But look at verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and note this, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. You see, the Lord gave thanks for that little tiny amount. And what happened? It was far more than they even needed. And we can apply this to ourselves. This is how the Lord deals with us. When we give thanks for the little that we have, you will actually find that it's so much more than you need. Do you have little time? Little time to do anything? We're all so busy. But if you give thanks for that time that you have, you will find that it's more than enough. Do you have so little money in your bank? Do you worry about that? Don't worry. Give thanks for the little that you have. Give thanks to God, and you will find that you will never want. This is the example given to us in Scripture, and we can apply it spiritually as well. Do you have little faith, little trust in God? You can thank God that you do have some small, tiny faith. If you thank God for that, you will see how your faith increases. And your battle against sin. Sometimes we can get so distraught, we battle and we battle and we battle. We only see small victories against our sin, but we thank God for them. If you thank God for the small victories, very soon the large victories will come. This is how we apply all these things, dear friends. Christ is our great example. But I must begin to draw to conclusion. Let me just turn you to one last example of our Lord Jesus Christ giving thanks in 1 Corinthians and chapter 11. And we're all very familiar with these words. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, the words of the Apostle Paul. This is the passage that we read out before the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." What a tremendous example. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the eve of his execution, about to suffer eternal agony on the cross, a brutal and a public death, he was to be spat at, he was to be mocked, they were to set upon his head a crown of thorns, he was to die for sins that were not his own. That was the prospect before him, and yet we read here, the same night in which he was betrayed by one of his own disciples, what does he do? He gives thanks. After that he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Dear friends, if we are Christians, we have no excuse to not give thanks, to neglect thankfulness. If Christ, on the eve of his passion, gave thanks to God, what excuse do we have to neglect our thankfulness? We, of course, indeed have the greatest reason on earth to give thanks. No other body of people, no other religion has as much reason as we do to give thanks. This is the greatest reason on earth to give thanks, that Christ, well, he gave his body broken for us, and the blood that was shed so freely for us. Is there another reason, a greater reason, for us to give thanks? Search the whole world. There is no other reason or greater reason to give thanks to the Lord. These things are tremendous. And well, I pray that these things would have been a blessing to you. Give thanks to the Lord. Thanks without ceasing, and we shall be blessed. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, we do give thee thanks from the bottom of our hearts. Lord, we do thank thee as we meditate upon these things, that in our trust, in our minds, in our hearts, is the greatest reason to give thanks on this earth, that Christ has shed his blood for us and died for us. Lord, may we truly fill our lives with gratitude and a great sense of indebtedness and a desire to serve thee and love thee all our days. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.